Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Lime is depressed about something we're going to get to here in a second. Can I just say real quick, because I have to scratch the itch, because if I don't scratch the itch, Tony, it ain't going to happen. It's going to eat away at me for the rest of the morning. I heard the promo right before the show. You wouldn't trade a fifth-round pick for a guy you're going to tank with. You'd just pick up somebody off the street, right? Of the afternoon show? Like, if you were, like, they said Kenny Pickett maybe is a guy you tank with, and they just won't admit it. And I'm going, why would you trade a fifth-round pick for a guy
you're
going
to tank
with?
Yeah, you wouldn't use an asset, especially if you're tanking. Like, unless you're saying, well, either scenario is a good one. Meaning, if he ends up being good, then you got a good quarterback.
But then you didn't take him to tank with.
Well, right. Well, so that's a lot of times you take a guy and it's not exactly what you planned. I agree with you that seems silly. That wouldn't be the outcome.
Well, it's just a promo. Maybe there's more context that I'm missing there. You know what I mean? But it just didn't seem to make a lot of sense. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Okay, good. Guardians won. They won again. And I want to get to that coming up here at 6:20. You are depressed, though. Tell everybody there, why you're depressed. There.
Well, basketball's coming to an end, and throughout the playoffs, feels like for 2 months, you got games every night, and now it's all coming to an end. This series, I mean, I saw Vegas thinks it's going 5 games. They think Oklahoma City
really
is going to handle the
why
Indiana Pacers.
Games?
Well, they're huge favorites because they unlike us, were the 66-win team. Is that how many they had this year? Plus,
yes.
You know, there were some anxious moments for them in that Denver series, but overall, they've looked like the best team in basketball. So, not many people are really giving the Pacers that much credit.
So, well, the Pacers beat us, then they beat the Knicks. Those aren't terrible opponents. Now, I know that the West would be better. I'm a little bit surprised that Vegas seems to only think it's 5 games. That's all. That's all I'm pointing out there. 5 games seems to
they
be a little.
They say Oklahoma City
if
has.
If you wanted to favor Oklahoma City, fine. But
they have the profile of an all-time great team. And that's kind of been the case throughout the entire season.
So, but you are depressed because basketball's ending.
It is ending. I don't know. I'd love to know what you have on your phone in terms of the most energy from your friends or the people you follow on social media. But obviously, NFL goes without saying. We all have endless text threads for the NFL or whatever. College football, same thing. And then it's the NBA for me. And the minute the NBA ends, for whatever reason, baseball, that's just not, maybe it's my fault for not cultivating that over time, but my friends seem to care more about the minors, about the Guardians minor teams than they do you know, the big league roster. I just don't get a lot of reaction day in and day out.
APHIS text.
I get a ton of those.
My threads aren't crazy about it. Even during Browns games, because they know I don't like to be texted during Browns games if things aren't going well, because it's just like, well, I'm not your therapist. And I'm dealing with it just like you are, and I don't need to read more cuss out tweet. Because I told you this before, it almost feels like you're responsible for it in some way. Like, oh well, you just because you want the Browns to do well, and then they don't do well, and then I read the cuss out texts about the Browns, and I'm just like, well, I don't need to add any more to this. I don't need any more horrificness of a Sunday afternoon just to read through all these nasty. Because the only thing I can say is, yeah, I know this sucks. That's the only thing I know to say in the middle of dealing with whatever they're doing.
Well, you're somebody to lean on, I think, to those people that are texting you.
But if I was there in person, that's fine. But you're texting me. I can't do anything about it. So what am I to lean on about?
Well, that's the thing about the communal experience of watching sports.
Yeah, I don't like the communal experience, I guess. I like it in person, but I don't like it on the phone or on social media or anything like that.
Yeah, probably it's just because the Browns have been so bad. Had they have been good,
but I think it's almost
everything. You'd be getting fun tweets, and it would be, you know, LFG and Super Bowl, Super Browns.
I think it's almost everything. Because I told you before, like years ago, I stop live every now and then when it's positive. I will. I really don't like to live react to games, because if you say something nice and then all of a sudden something goes to hell, well, then you're blamed by some people on the internet and vice versa. So it's like, well, what's the point? What's the point of any of this? What's the point of having any sort of an opinion whatsoever then in game? I have them, but I'm not going to let it be bothering me. So I guess I don't share the same experience as you do when it comes to sports in general, let alone that. Like, I know you got buddies who might text you during games. I don't get texted during basketball games. I don't get texted during baseball, football, anything. I used to get texted over when gambling first got opened up in Ohio. I used to get texted over NASCAR races. I remember that. Like, people wanted to know what they could get in on the NASCAR races. And I go, well, guys, they changed the car, so it's kind of a crapshoot now. That's a whole long thing that we don't need to fire up the music and get going with. I'm just saying.
I think maybe I don't know, it's the chicken or the egg thing. Like, I'm not getting golf texts. I used to. Those are gone.
Now those are gone.
Is it because I'm not as interested in it, or is it that my friends aren't as interested, or are we all in unison not as interested? Like, PGA Championship came and went, nothing. I used to get texts about what guys were wearing at the golf events.
Well, is everybody just busier now? I mean, you are older. Is that it? Is that part of it? Because I find myself not liking texts as much as I don't like. I'd rather just talk on the phone for 2 seconds and get it out of the way than sit there and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, I read, like, there's people who send me a book, and I'm like, we could have done this in 15 seconds on a phone call, man. Jeez Louise, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so just...
So I'm not depressed about any of that stuff. I'm not depressed.
It just stinks. It stinks that...
Feeling good, to be honest with you.
Like, that, you know, maybe some of it, like... I imagine the Dairy Brothers. I imagine their phone lights up all baseball season.
I don't know.
So it never. I like. Do people watch baseball in that way where they're keeping tabs of the other teams at all times? Because that's what I was doing with the Cavs this year. Is I was watching as much Boston as I could. Turned out that was a waste of time.
Then you called people out for not watching as much Boston as they could. That was a great moment.
Turned out didn't matter at all.
Didn't.
And Oklahoma City, I was watching them throughout the year because I was like, finals matchup, Oklahoma City sizing them up. Baseball's just never been that way. I mean, I watched a little bit last night of the Yankees Dodgers because we're playing the Yankees coming up.
Oh yeah, that's right, Tuesday.
I watched a little bit, but not the way that I would watch the NBA.
I watched baseball weekend. I watched a little bit of NASCAR. I watched a little bit of Eastern Conference Finals, and that's basically what I kind of just took it all in. It's the way it was.
About the Memorial.
But I didn't.
Did you watch any of the golf?
I saw more. You know what? I saw more on Thursday, and then that was it. So the last three rounds, Saturday, it was nothing.
Preempted on CBS, which is weird to see the Memorial. You had to go to the golf channel until like 5 o'clock.
What was on CBS?
There was soccer. There was Champions League.
Oh, they pay a hell of a lot of money for that Champions League.
But it was weird not to see
the Champions League final.
But to see, I don't know what it was, but to see.
They pay a hell of a lot of money for that.
To see Jack's tournament relegated on a Saturday, moving day, to the Golf Network. It was just bizarre. Just another thing for Jack Nicklaus to bitch about. That seems to be all he does these days.
Yeah. Hold on. Can I just say this? This is the second time you said that in front of me about Jack Nicklaus. I like him bitching.
Oh,
I enjoy the complaining.
I've never seen a guy who seems so miserable be one of the icons of sports.
I disagree. I totally disagree. And the reason I disagree is I love the way he does it. He is very, it is not just crybaby old man stuff the way that you would see from other guys who are a little older and in their sport. I mean, Jack Nicklaus has to be, what, 85? I'm guessing. How old is Jack? The Golden Bear's got to be in his mid-80s. I think he is so sarcastic, and the way he does it, he puts the thin veil over it for you, and you have to do it. I think he's a great presenter of his complaint. I enjoy him
so much. I'm just wondering how a guy worth $500 million just seems miserable
because he's,
every day. He's been around golf. Think about the sport.
He's 85.
Think about, well, he's been like this for 30 years, it seems like.
Doesn't matter to me. I've enjoyed it for 30 years.
Who's had a better life than Jack Nicklaus that you never know it by seeing that dude's press conferences? Just misery. You made money golfing.
He's a steward of the game, though, and he doesn't like where the game is going, apparently. Would you, if you were the biggest name in PGA for, what was it? It would be probably 30 years, and then Tiger Woods comes along, and now you share the mantle between you, Tiger, Arnie, and then like old guys from like the 20s and 30s, like those guys. If you were one of those guys, and then all of a sudden you have LIV Golf as it is, like we've said it before, LIV has totally taken my enjoyment away from professional golf, because it's like, well, you get to see these guys. I mean, we've done it a million times. Well, his name is golf. So if you were Jack Nicklaus, I think he has every right to be upset. He has every right to be a curmudgeon about it. It's not just pulling a crank start and he says the same things. He's got something new every time. And I'm sorry, I disagree with you. I enjoy it. I enjoy his barbs. So if you're gonna be upset here, this is gonna be a pretty damn depressing summer for you. Depressed.
Like, can you imagine LeBron James 40 years from now just being miserable every day?
Guarantee you.
As the guy's worth $2 billion.
I guarantee you he will be that way. I guarantee you he's a competitor. They're all competitors. So I guarantee I don't think Jack Nicklaus is upset every day over something.
I see him, he is.
Well. If he doesn't like the way things are being ran, then he don't like the way things are being ran. If he's going to use his influence and his name to try to change things, I don't mind him using his influence and his name to try to change things. Boy, you seem to be in a worse mood than Jack Nicklaus right now. At least what you accuse him of being.
Well, it feels like...
What the hell are we going to do to get you in a good mood?
Well, it's weird. You got
Judas Priest.
You got the Browns, apparently, according to Pro Football Focus, the worst roster in the NFL. They had him ranked 32nd. Five and a half wins, according to Vegas. So it's like the Browns, as much as you've tried to get me excited about their offseason, it doesn't seem like people outside of Cleveland are buying it.
You can't say it's not interesting. Okay, what about Guardians?
They had a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Great weekend. It was looking bleak on Saturday when they were down, what, four? Was it 4-1?
Four nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And then see what happens.
It was looking really, really bad. And then they righted the ship completely. Yesterday was an awesome performance by Gavin.
What about wild-ass trades involving Darius Garland and the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7:20? Are you more interested in something like that?
Who are we getting? Depends. Who are we getting?
I'm not going to give away what we can sell, but people are saying wild things right now. I mean, you're the one who wants to shake things up. You're not excited shaking it up.
I am always.
Okay, so what's the point of being depressed?
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy. I saw some people tweeting at me, why do you want to change the Cavs? I'm like, I'm the wrong person to talk about this stuff. Because in hypotheticals, I'm always about trying to make all the teams better. And if that means trading guys on all the teams, I will do it at any point, at least in conversation, just philosophically. Like, that's what we're here to do. I can't just assume all my sports teams will just get better every year and magically win championships.
Well, no.
I don't think real GMs do that either.
But you don't need to be all depressed.
I think real GMs actually have conversations with other real GMs and talk about these things. Yet there's no bigger defenders of the status quo, I think, sometimes than the Homer fans. They just as much as my whole life it was trade talk, like, let's go get that guy. Let's go get that guy. For some reason in the NBA and Cavs fans, they just don't want to trade anybody. It flies so counter to my entire life talking about sports that the fans here just will never even entertain bringing in anybody else.
This is some strong stuff by you.
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel now after that sentence?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I just want to make sure. For you.
Do you disagree with everything I'm saying? Or you got
to a certain level.
Okay.
To a certain level. I think it reaches its crescendo, and then I think that there are big meltdowns, and I've been part of that before. But I need you to... It's going to be okay. The finals, even if it's only five, it's going to be okay. You'll get your summer league and all that crap.
I'm excited for the finals. Don't get me wrong. I'll watch every game of the finals. And I'll be staying up late for these games. They go 3 hours.
Are you serious?
Yeah, these games go about 3 hours. They don't start till, 8:30?
All right, something to be more positive about. David Fry yesterday. I hope you saw him pinch hit.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You take it away. We got some Adam Silver stuff to say, but this is you. Put out the gauntlet for me. Put out the gauntlet. Well, I'm going to watch it because it's my job, but put out the gauntlet for everybody.
Well, I'm excited about the NBA Finals. I think you have two great stories in these teams. It's not the same old with the NBA, which had a lot of people, quite frankly, for years, a lot of people said the NBA way too predictable. We know who's going to be in the finals. There's only four teams, if that, that can win a championship every year. And now what the Pacers have done and their style is fun to watch. Like, what is not fun about watching an NBA team? I've never seen an NBA team my whole life that pressed for an entire game, even after makes. I've just never seen that. So the Pacers are this really unique team. Cavs fans got to see them firsthand about the way they play basketball. They have a budding superstar in Tyrese Halliburton that doesn't need to score 30 every time. In fact, I don't even know if he could, if he wanted to. But he does it passing the basketball. That is so different to watch for an NBA superstar that is also good enough to get a team to the finals. Like, we've seen Steve Nash was a pass-first guy. I guess Jason Kidd was a pass-first guy, and he was able to get to the finals. But that Halliburton is this kind of new type of superstar that also knows how to play to the cameras, right? So yes. There's personality there. On the other end, you have a team that you guys want to talk about teams that don't care in the regular season. Like, holy cow, Oklahoma City cared this regular season. And they even were able to overcome some big men injuries to be able to still win 66 games. Who knows how many they could have won? And by the numbers, this team is right up there with the all-time great teams that have ever played, including the Bulls of the 90s, and also the Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, Golden State Warriors. And they play defense. It feels like they've hoarded all the great defensive players in the league. So you can't say they don't play defense. They're physical. They get after it. So just stylistically, I am sucked into that. And I'm curious why other fans that have had all these bad things to say about the NBA over the years, why they wouldn't wrap their arms around this pairing for the NBA Finals.
Nathan says he likes Donovan. He doesn't care about Oklahoma like everyone in the country that's not in Oklahoma.
So, okay, I mean, you just want to see Los Angeles and Boston every year? You want to see the Knicks?
That's his answer, not every mine. Year?
I mean, was that not one of the criticisms forever that the NBA caters to the big markets?
Yes.
So finally, the NBA didn't cater. In fact, they changed their whole system to not allow the big markets that could just lure the free agents in. And seems like that fan would rather go back to the other way.
Adam Silver even spoke about that. This is him on Fox Sports 1 just yesterday.
It's one thing I really admire about the NFL. I mean, if we were going into a Super Bowl and it was Packers against Steelers, you guys would be celebrating that. Those would be storied franchises. People wouldn't be talking about markets. You know, the fact that Pittsburgh is a small market. So we, in fact, you know, I'm happy whatever team ends up in the finals, but it's been intentional from our standpoint to create a system, a collective bargaining agreement that allows more teams to compete. And people are accustomed to tuning into the finals because it's the two teams that deserve to be there and it's the best basketball.
Audio courtesy FS1. I think he's right about that. I do think that when it comes to ratings and things like that, I think that the media makes a bigger deal than what the fans do.
Why isn't the NBA getting credit for this? The way he's right. The NFL gets credit
because
for the fact
like that
any market, you guys don't seem to care. In fact, you champion when it's different types of markets that can get into the Super Bowl.
I think it has to do with still you are looking for individuals that provide some sort of bite, whether it be emotionally, whether it be stylistically. And I think there's different styles there. I think that what gets the general population going is Tyrese Halliburton a villain? Is he really a villain to the rest of the country because of him and his dad and his choke sign and things like that? I don't know if he is yet. I think that they can make a big deal of that starting tonight.
That's his first time on the biggest stage. He had been to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander the face of the league? How many people would know who Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is if he got off a plane in Cleveland? You know, how many people would understand that? Because everybody would know who LeBron James to Magic Johnson is and everybody else. Doesn't matter about that. So I do think that they are struggling to find the face of their league and to figure out who's going to be the next torchbearer, because leagues are all ran on stars. No matter what we want to say about teams, the NFL, they do a great job protecting the shield with teams, but it's still based on stars. They just make sure you play for the teams that basically they want you to play for in so many ways, where Patrick Mahomes will probably stay with the Kansas City Chiefs his entire career, or at least as long as he's useful. And he is the face of the league in so many ways. Aaron Judge plays in New York. Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, we've been through that a million times.
Patrick Mahomes was not a star coming into the NFL. And in fact, he famously didn't play that first year. So how did he become a star?
Well, you still had Tom Brady.
He started performing on big stages.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Isn't this exactly how he becomes a star? I know he's Canadian.
You're right.
But this, if he has, look, guys, he just won the NBA Finals. I mean, he just won the NBA MVP, and I thought it was a pretty easy decision.
It could be the start. It could. Now, I'll tell you another. I'll give you my reasons why I'm going to watch. I know that's not what you want. You want to fight. You want to be able to knock some people down on why they're not going to watch the NBA Finals tonight. 216-474-0092.
Look, if you just don't like basketball, fine. I mean, there's very few people that don't like football, but you know, there are categories of people that just don't like college football. They just don't like any sports outside of, you know, whatever their top sport is. I'm sure there are some diehard baseball fans that are like, actually, I'm not into the NFL all that much.
Well, my legit reasons, other than I'm supposed to watch it, I want to see what separates comparing Cleveland to these teams. This is a series that Cleveland should be close to. I thought that this was a team, and so many other people thought that the Cavs were going to the finals this year. I thought they could have gotten over Boston. Many people made that argument earlier this year, and then it ended up not even being them or Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to see what stylistically we can do. Can you go out? I want to know, you know what, damn it, I want to know if fit is more important now that you have Donovan Mitchell. I know I keep bringing this up. I really want to know. I got to have it pounded into my head that it's okay to let go of Darius Garland or Jared Allen, that things are going to be fine with the players that you were to bring in if you were to make a move this offseason. I have to have that proven to me by Indiana or by Oklahoma City later on tonight and throughout this series, whether it be five games, six games, whatever. I have to have that proven to me. Because I'll tell you what, I might make the argument the entire offseason or the two-week window that we'll probably have to actually make a trade. I got to have it proven to me, because if Oklahoma City wins it, I'm going to still say, well, that's the MVP playing for the best player playing on the best team. How many guys actually, quote-unquote, fit? And I know some of the answers you're going to bring up, but I have to watch this because I want to see where the Cavaliers match up with these guys. If I just see a wrestling match and guys are suplexing each other, I'm going to go, yeah, you know what? These are great styled basketball players, and also the Cavs aren't tough enough to do it. Like, I'm already thinking of the reasons that are there. Or, damn it, I might watch this go, you know what? We're not that far away with how we are.
Well, you said something interesting about Shai Gilgeous. You're like, if he stepped off the plane in Cleveland, does the average person know who he is? When Donovan Mitchell is like a superstar, right? Donovan Mitchell, we all agree, is a superstar. But Shai Gilgeous has been better than Donovan Mitchell. In fact, he's been better for, I'd say, probably 3 years he's been better than Donovan Mitchell.
It's a hell of a point. And maybe this is his time to be. Like, it's not where he'll never be the face of the league. Maybe this is time to be the face of the league. I do believe, and we've talked about this as well, 7 champions in 7 years, I don't know if that's the very best thing for the league. I think that people do want something that's repeatable because they want some dominance there. Nikola Jokic, great player. They've won one. You want dominance. Mahomes, ultimate team game. There's dominance there. The Dodgers, I think they're about to become a real dominant franchise. And then you have the face, one of the two faces of the league in Shohei Ohtani playing for the dominant franchise. You want somebody you can go after.
So that's why I'm so fascinated. I think that's what Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, was kind of alluding to. Like, it seems like people want it both ways. They want parity. NFL has it, but they want the dominance. Okay, well, the NBA had the dominance, and people didn't seem to really care all that much at the end.
Matt on the road, you're first up with the fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not terrible. Go ahead.
So I think the problem, so obviously, you know, I think, you know, in Cleveland here, we have the constant inferiority complex. So, and you know, I've immediately won these too. So, you know, when the ALCS is going and you have people like Jeff Passan that's basically already touting a Ohtani and Judge World Series before game one's even started, you know, of course we're going to be a little missed about that. But I think where, like, the NFL and you guys are last me because I know it's not a big NHL city, but the NHL does it better is that, like, they tend to, you know, focus on more of these small market teams. Like, you know, the NFL, like Pittsburgh, I don't know if San Francisco technically is considered a big market, but, you know, they've been, you know, they've had dominant stretches. Almost every team every year feels like they have a chance. The NBA for years, it's kind of been like, well, if you're not New York, or, I mean, not even New York, because the Knicks have been so dysfunctional, but, you know, some hot market like L.A. or Miami, you know, it's, you know, sucks to suck. You're a small market. You better not get comfortable with your stars. Same thing with MLB. At least with, like, the NFL and NHL, you know, you have these cores to build around for a while. And
No, Matt, thank you very much for the call, though. Because you're hitting on something there. I think that might be one of the things that, with the second apron, it might be a little bit too strong in how they do it, because you want to be able to keep a team for a while. Like the Celtics, we're already talking about breaking them up because of what the second apron does to them. The Cavaliers, your window is, I think, open for 2 more years, and there might be some people looking at it for maybe 1 more year. There's things that become difficult. So I think that people want dominance, and they want some dominance no matter where it's at in the country. they want some dominance to root for or root against. And you had that in Golden State. You had that even at, I know they only won one, but you had that in the Eastern Conference with Cleveland. And you had a guy, two of the guys who were primary stars. I still think it's a league looking for stars. But that said, I'm watching for a real reason to compare the Cavs tonight and this entire series. And I'm also watching because I'm supposed to.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I'm going to get to the dumbest pro athlete I think I've ever seen in my life. Think about the territory that takes in. That coming up in just moments. A lot of people tweeted this at me, including Nick Wilson. I don't know what's going on with ESPN, but getting rid of Doris Burke is the wrong move. Now, it doesn't seem to be official, but it seems like she's on her way out at ESPN.
The venerable Andrew Marchand did say that it was curtains for this broadcast team, and it looked like Doris was going to be on the outside looking in after this year. There was no official word on Richard Jefferson, although not looking good for him either.
Well, if anybody who's listened, they know I'm a big Doris Burke fan. I've been a Doris Burke fan. This is dead serious. I know that guys who do this for a living get stupid about this. I've been the biggest Doris Burke fan for well over a decade. I think she's taught a world of basketball. I think that her knowledge of the game is incredible. I remember she went on Zach Lowe's podcast when the finals were here, and my buddy Jason Gibbs was working like to get Zach Lowe all set up. Jason Gibbs, who works for the Browns, he's my boss over there. And when she went in to do the interview, he had her record like a happy birthday thing to me because my birthday coincides almost with the finals.
I remember we had her on, and you were so giddy about having her on.
I love Doris Burke.
She did like 23 minutes with us.
Yeah. I didn't want to be like, I'm your biggest fan, like misery, except in reverse. But I'm a big Doris Burke fan, and I think it's ridiculous. I know that they're probably going to mess with that booth or whatever because you brought up Mike Breen. I hold Mike Breen in high regard probably just because of my 2016 memory. If the Cavs were never good, I ain't going to lie to you. He's not Kevin Harlan. He's not Ian. You know, to me, those two are the most prominent voices in basketball in the NBA. Mike Breen's good. There's no getting around
Awesome guy. And yeah. I always say, by all accounts, by my account, I came across him in the bowels of MSG back in the day, and he asked me if, hey, can I put your microphone out there because I'm holding the camera. It was the coolest thing. I thought that was so awesome that somebody like Mike Breen
Andy Baskin
was willing to
did
do
that for me once. So, back in the day.
You guys used to be tight.
And now we're going to be tight again.
Bud, you should probably know what you're talking about.
I don't know if you knew this. We are sitting together at a dinner tonight.
Okay, so this is really going down, huh?
Yeah.
You guys both going to be rocking tuxes?
No. He asked me what I was wearing, and I said tuxedo. And he looked at me like I had turds falling out of my mouth. And I went, no. I'm joking around. We're going to be sitting at the same table, Cleveland Press
Prestigious
Club tonight.
Prestigious award ceremony.
I don't know if I'm winning anything. We'll find out.
You better bring home the gold.
I better bring home something. It'd be like it's going to be like Denzel Washington. I'm grabbing something and leaving here with something in my hands. I'm not giving my Friday night up to not walk out with any hardware. That ain't going to happen. I don't know about Baskin. I'm sure he's more respectful than me. But yeah, we're sitting at the same table.
That's awesome.
So we got that going for us. But Mike Breen, Breen's fine.
Breen has been the steady, consistent voice of basketball on the biggest stage. He's not my favorite play-by-play guy. Like, especially in basketball, I would take Kevin Harlan, who I think is unbelievable doing
Harlan
those TNT
Eagle,
games.
I think
Brian Anderson has really
he's
surged.
Very good. Yeah, he's very good.
And I guess, you know, next year when it's on NBC and Peacock, I'm guessing that'll be both Noah Eagle and Mike Tirico. Tirico, the bummer about
him.
I'm
trying to think of the third one, but I think you're right about those two.
The bummer about probably Jack Collinsworth. The bummer about Tirico going to NBC is I felt like it took him out of so many big events because Tirico was just so rock solid.
Yeah.
He could do everything. He's not the guy you want for the most exciting moments in sports, but he is perfect. He never makes a mistake, that dude.
Yeah, I think he's very good. But like Harlan and Eagle are on another level. And if either one of those guys were doing the finals at that time, it probably would have been even bigger. But like, well, Mike Breen was the guy who called the Cleveland City of Champions again, and
that was cool. That was absolutely cool. So that'll always be part of the soundtrack of Cleveland fans forever. Anybody that goes back and watches that, you're thinking of that call, and he ushered it in a perfect manner.
But if NBC wants to bring in Doris Burke, it would be the right move to do so. If this is her last,
they do a poaching
hurrah with ESPN because I think it's asinine of them to let her go.
Who gets Pam Ward in all of this?
Is she still doing games?
I don't know.
I haven't heard Pam Ward in a long time. Beth Mullins is still doing games.
They named some awards after her on one of the websites, one of the blogs.
The Pam Awards.
The Pam Awards, yeah.
I had no idea about any of this. I am in the dark. Nathan Zagura, 901. I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to say that Daryl Ryder is going to join us at 822. All right, I want to introduce you to the dumbest pro athlete that's ever lived. I hope Derek Carr is lying to everybody. You're telling everybody in the world that you'd just rather retire and you didn't think it right to take the New Orleans Saints money?
This makes no sense.
You're telling me you had a $30 million coming to you and you didn't think it was right to take the Saints money. You could have taken the Saints money and donated it all to charity if you really wanted to. How do you stand there and look yourself in the mirror as a grown man? It wasn't right to take the Saints' money.
Yeah, this is...
Lima, I have ripped on many an athlete. I'll tell you this. When it comes to Deshaun Watson, like, I openly do not want to see him ever play for the Cleveland Browns again. Ever. Ever. Done with that period of time. I will never say that Deshaun Watson, unless he's in some sort of a crazy breach of contract and I will never say Deshaun Watson should give money back. I will never say any player should give money back. No. Why on earth would Derek Carr, I hope that's not the reason. I hope he wouldn't be that stupid. Sorry, go ahead. I can't believe how insane and asinine
it doesn't
is.
Add up because we're just not used to anybody with that mindset, not only in professional sports, in the world these days. There's nobody that's this magnanimous, that is this altruistic. Like, you just don't expect this. It's one thing for Rex Grossman to say, you know what, Browns, I know you're in a desperate situation. You need a quarterback at the end of the year, but it's the holidays. I'm not coming out of this retirement for the holidays. I'll pass up the check, you know, for the last few weeks of the season. That's one thing. This is how many million Derek Carr
30
is
million.
Gonna, 30
15
million
after taxes.
And I get it. He's not sacked as many times as his brother, but You worry about your safety, you worry about your health. He could give $15 million to his brother
yeah, if he wanted to.
I know.
What are you talking about?
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this.
Your health is already gone.
Normally, it's the other way. Like, you have guys like Ben Simmons collecting as much money as humanly possible and then not playing, like doing their best to not. They're stealing money, quite literally, in every sense of the term.
It says, I wouldn't have been able to play if I had the surgery, Carr said. This is from NFL.com. I wouldn't have been able to play if I had the surgery. And then I tried to play with it. I wasn't near 100%, and so that doesn't help them either. I just felt like it was the right thing to do for myself and the team. Saints and Carr came to a decision that the quarterback would retire, leaving $30 million guaranteed that he would have received in 2025, and the club wouldn't pursue the $10 million roster bonus that would have been forfeited by retiring. I never played for just the money, Carr said. Well, that's period.
Well, what's his family? Clear. What's his family think about this?
If you were his wife,
got a $10 million parting gift there, right?
Okay, it's still not what else he could have made. And guys, this isn't a charity. It's professional sports. How much do the NFL make? They make $300 million just by opening up the gates for the year.
Well, this is why
on earth would you turn down $30 million? They will cut you as soon as they look at you in the NFL.
I'm a little dubious because, yes, it is such a business, and they will do everything they can to get out from a contract the minute they have the first chance. There's no guaranteed money in this league for the most part.
No, this is...
It is pretty shocking to hear someone say this when teams never operate like this. Almost never. I mean, you hear some good stories here and there about, hey, we're going to do the right thing on somebody who's really, really injured. But 99% of the time, these teams will move on from you and get out from underneath your contract the first chance they get.
We make such a big deal about like locker room leaders, leadership, that whole thing. I have to tell you, I think it's one of the hardest things to do in professional sports. In high school, it's easy. And that's where most of us ended our high school, or ended our sports playing time, was in high school. So you remember, it's like, hey, you vote for captains. There's guys who were definitely rah-rah guys. There were definitely guys who were leaders. You need a couple of like dangerous guys, a couple of dogs for your football team that even like the teachers like respected there. Like, you always need that to have that makeup. And that's always going to be the truth in like high school football, college football, that type of thing. In the NFL, why it's so remarkable to me is they take guys who are competing for jobs against each other, and somehow in the locker room, they're able to mold them and brainwash them into believing in each other and actually working towards a goal, which is an extremely hard thing to do because it should be a selfish thing because they're trying to take each other's jobs through most of the year. The offseason is all about getting a job instead of somebody else. It's all about getting your money while you can. You have the shortest career of anything. Remember, when Kevin Mawai made a big stink about the rookies making all this money, he didn't see the forest for the trees. Now, instead of keeping guys on second and third contracts, they just get rid of veterans. That's what, like, Rodney McLeod is so impressive that he's able to play 13 years in the NFL, because they just get rid of veterans and just bring in young guys who are going to be on a cheaper level because of the rookie wage scale. So you're fighting for these things, and you're telling me you're going to give a team $30 million back? Oh, well, they got to keep 10 as a going-away gift. Doesn't matter.
You owe it to your sport to take every single penny. You wonder what the union thinks. Could this start a trend where quarterbacks start doing, quote, the right thing and give their money back? How much is left on Deshaun Watson's deal?
He's going to...
90-some million?
80-something.
Okay.
It doesn't make me feel any better.
Will he see this story from Derek Carr and say, you know what? I really haven't lived up to my contract, and I just can't take your money anymore, Mr. Haslam. I have to do this in the spirit of being honest and ethical. I have to give my money back to you.
I don't think I'd have anything to say.
Are we expecting this?
I don't think I'd have anything to say the next morning because I think I'd fall over and die. I'd be shocked. I texted this to a former NFL player, and the former NFL player texted back, and I'm not lying to you guys, what a bleeping idiot. He wrote the actual word. I mean, I hope he's just trying to give a rah-rah story or something.
Someone's
like
going to say, typical sports talk Cleveland, you rip guys for doing the wrong thing, you rip them for doing the right thing.
No, if you're paid them, I expect you to be worth the money you're paid to be in one way or the other. If you can brainwash your teammates into being leaders and playing, then fine. If you are worth the money on the field, then fine. Like Myles Garrett, when we bring up Myles Garrett, Myles Garrett's a $40 million defensive end. I expect him to have pressures and sack people. That's what I expect him to do. But to leave money like that on the table, that's crazy. If you were his wife, You calling Cordell and Cordell? I'm going to get my $15 million one way or the other, sir. All right, we'll give the Rockies up here a second. It just sounds so ridiculous. I'm just killing your bookmakers, what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. They're going to be begging you for forgiveness.
What if I'm the bookmaker?
And the money's not real. People go, is that why you guys don't gamble that much? I go, one, I don't gamble. Two, I won last night on the Owens Sportsbook. I took the Rockies to win with the money line.
So it all started a few days ago.
They won.
I asked the question, why have we not just been betting, and why hasn't everybody just been betting?
You pay for Christmas.
The Colorado Rockies to lose every game, considering at that point, what was their record? They had only...
They won nine games.
God. Okay.
They've won two
and
in a row.
Only won once. Now. One time they had gone back-to-back, and that was it. And then we found out the hard way, right? That first night we talked about it, they end up losing. And I'm like, you know what? We got to go against the grain now.
Yep.
We got to start talking about them winning because that's where the value is. And then what did they do yesterday?
Oh,
they won.
They put back to back. They won a series.
Back to back, belly to belly. And today, Tone, it's not just a getaway day. It's the first game of the day. It's at 12:10 against the Marlins, which is probably, I would imagine, an education day. They're going to get the kids to go to that ballpark because no one else will.
They're going to try to get the Tom Omansky day. It's back to back to back.
Well, I'm not picking the Rockies today. I'm going to blind. I don't even know who's pitching, and I'm going to pick the Rockies. I'm going to pick the Marlins. I'm picking the Marlins. Going against the Rockies today.
It's Cal Quantrill.
For who?
Going for Miami.
The Miami Marlins.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Can I change this?
Nope.
Nah, come on. Let me change it.
I shut it down.
Let me change it. I mean, Kyle Freeland ain't that much better. He's 0-8. Well, 0-8 don't matter when you're on a bad team.
Cal has not made it past five innings in a month and a half.
Now, let me see Kyle Freeland. Hold on. This is deep stuff. All right, he went 6 in a loss to the Mets.
Freeland, 0-8 this year.
His ERA is at 5.72. What's his splits? What's he on the road?
He's only 0-4 on the road.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well,
ERA is only 4.29 on that.
I made my decision, and here I am.
Books are closed. Sorry.
All right. I took the Marlins. Let's have a good day for Cal Quantrill. Okay.
All right.
There. You taking the Marlins? What are you taking?
Yeah, I'll take the Marlins.
All right. So am I ahead now? Because I started 100 in the hole. I'm even now. Okay.
Even.
I'm even. All right. So we're even with Owen Sportsbook. I'm trying to get to 1,000.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Good. Very good. We had Zach Mize a lot. Zach was great. The stuff about Travis Bezzana, excellent. Stuff about the lineup, excellent. The Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams conversation, you got to go hear that. 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app. Even Zach pushed the free Odyssey app, which was great. But there was something else he said about Tito Francona and the Red situation, because I'm sure not that many people are paying attention. Like, they're doing it on their sports radio down there. They're complaining about Francona, and they don't like Francona. Like, there's people saying that they'd rather have Bell back as their manager than have Tito Francona. Here's Zach Mize on his thought with Francona managing the Cincinnati Reds.
Part of me, like, hated talking baseball in this town when Francona was manager in the first half. It was they'd always get off to a slow start, and then they'd turn it around in the second half. Reds fans don't know that yet. Every Tito team gets off to a slow start. But that team's weird. I don't know if that team turns it around. And yeah, I don't know. I still don't really understand why Terry Francona's managing. I asked him a bunch of times in spring training. I think he's addicted to it. It was weird to me that he'd come back after 1 year and go there to a team that just seemed like they were going to be middle of the pack. And I don't know, it seems kind of boring. I'd rather be playing golf in Hawaii like he was.
They're 30-32 to start the season. He wore a Cavaliers shirt in a post game and some people got mad down there. I told you guys, man, when you guys were rooting for the Bengals to win the Super Bowl that year, those River people do not like you. Nothing about you do they like. They hate me too. I'm in it as well. They hate us, guys. They don't. It doesn't matter that. Oh well, we're Cavs fans. Like, there's at least people. I'll tell you this. There's at least people in Pittsburgh who like the Cavs. And they're like, hey, we hate the Browns and all that other stuff. But hey, you know, LeBron's all right and the Cavs are good. They don't have basketball in Cincinnati and they don't like the Cavs. They might hate you more than Pittsburgh does. You mentioned though when he took over for Manny Acta, it was a hero's welcome when he took over for Manny Acta. He was a guy at that time coming off a two World Series with the Boston Red Sox. We also thought he was unduly fired by the Boston Red Sox. The chicken and beer and the clubhouse and things like that. And then they went with Bobby Valentine, who was too much of a disciplinarian, blew up on their face. But, you know, we were like, okay, their mistake is our good fortune. And there's also, it's changed so much now where you remember Terry's last 2 years. Was it the last two seasons? He missed time with health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
you knew the end was getting closer and closer.
So you took one season off and you come back and now, like, I have faith in Terry Francona. He's a good manager. But if you have this young baseball team and they've been pounding it into your heads that this lineup's going to be the next big, if Zach's saying they were telling their fans this lineup's going to be the next big red machine, and you start off slow, and Francona's there, and he's now an older manager, and it's been years since he won a World Series, and it's 2016 was when they were in the World Series with the Indians. It's been nearly a decade now. They probably, are not very thrilled with Tito. I don't think I need to defend Tito Francona. I think his record will defend itself by the end of the year. I agree with Zach.
It's funny to see.
I'm not surprised by this.
You notice what they're going after him about. It's mostly some of the prehistoric, antiquated baseball stuff that every manager used to cling to back in the 90s and the 2000s, and he's still going with it.
How's their bunting numbers?
Right. Probably two, and even one bunt is too much for the baseball fans of today.
Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Again, Zach was excellent. Both guys were excellent today. Dan Dockage was amazing. I know that they're going to be playing one answer from him on WFAN in New York today. So we will probably have reaction from the Big Apple to something that Dan said on our show coming up tomorrow right here on 92.3 The Fan. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lyme, again, go listen to those interviews, 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app. Jim Schwartz will talk to the media today. I'm sure we will have reaction to that. OTAs, Browns OTAs are there. Who's going to be doing 11-on-11? Who's going to be throwing? Will it be Shador? The only place to go, 92.3 The Fan for all of it. For the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carman. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Guardians. Let's get it done. So you asked me, because you wanted to do... Sam Monson did some revisionist history, and he'll join us at 9:01, formerly a PFF, now with the Check the Tape podcast with him and Steve Palazzolo, also formerly a PFF. And you would ask me, what if they would have held on to Baker?
Yeah.
My theory is this. I think it would still, there was a lot of tension at that time. And I thought in that 2021 season, he did a lot to cost himself, not just with money. I thought he cost himself a lot of trust within the locker room. I mean, you want to talk leadership. I thought he had it in the palm of his hand. And I think he lost a lot of that because I think that, and I know that to some of these players, that line became blurred of, do you really want what's best? Or are you just trying to get paid? And again, when you are asked so many times whether or not your quarterback's bad, you're going to start to resent that QB. It's happened with every Browns quarterback that we've ever put any faith in. The teammates start getting asked if they think he's bad, and at first they're good with it, and they do the right thing, and they answer. And over time, it starts to wear on a teammate. And it does. It's done it with Deshaun Watson since, and it did it with Baker Mayfield in 2021. Had they held on to Baker? All right, he wouldn't have been as bad as he was in Carolina. He looked lost at times in Carolina. I think that Kevin Stefanski has proven he's a better offensive coach than Matt Rhule at the NFL. He wouldn't have been as bad. Would he have accepted a deal that was worth $100 million? Yes. Would we be arguing right now? Would we ever be as bad as 3-14? Absolutely not. So we would be sitting here arguing right now. I think we'd be the Steelers in so many ways.
Yeah, good enough to contend with the Chiefs and the Bills.
We would be arguing where we are because as of right now, he is a great story in Tampa Bay. He's a great story.
Amazing.
He's paid what he's worth, though. He's paid what he's worth. He is not a $300 million quarterback. He's not a $250 million quarterback. And they've done the right thing by him. They know Jason Light and all those guys, whatever. I mean, they know exactly what's going to help that guy. And that is targets and offensive linemen. Let him be a point guard. Don't make him to be Superman because then all of a sudden he'll get crazy ideas and you'll have problems. Protect him because he needs his whole body to throw the ball hard. That's why he struggled so much in 2021, because it did affect his mechanics. You give him guys like Godwin. You give him guys like Mike Evans, who's a Hall of Famer. They just drafted another one. Like, you're going to have some success, and he's been successful. They know what they're doing. Us, no, we messed up the whole thing, obviously. And I'd much rather argue about whether or not we could get over the hump with Baker Mayfield than what we've been arguing about over the last 3 years. But I've said it a bunch of times. That's where it is. And hell, I've had a bunch of people over the last 3 years, again, the nastiness over Baker. You wanted Baker out. I did not think it was a tenable situation. I also did not advocate to make the trade that they made. I am on the record about that. I did not want to make that trade. Vehemently against that trade. But we are where we are. But I think that had they had held on to Baker, he wouldn't have been as bad as he was with Carolina. I don't think it would have came to a head with him and Kevin Stefanski. He has a way of working some things out with some guys, somehow, some way. I think it would have worked to a degree. I don't know if it would have got them to the promised land.
He was so embattled throughout that season. And by the way, they're not just criticism for Baker there. I mean, the team as well. I was calling for them to shut him down. I thought.
I don't think you were the only one.
I can tell you I was earlier than most because I said it and I was getting crushed. People are like, you gotta let him gut it out. You gotta let him do this. I'm like, well, he's hurting the team and he's also hurting himself. Like, nobody was saving Baker from himself at that point. Cost him a ton of money. And then, you know, yeah, they got wandering eyes. They were like, all right, we've got a team that's ready for the Super Bowl. But right now, our quarterback is banged up and nowhere near good enough to contend with the Chiefs and Josh Allen and, you know, what I guess we were talking about, Lamar Jackson and Baltimore at that point. So we have to pounce. We've got, and who's available? You know, that's not all that dissimilar from what the Rams did, because we talked about the Rams at the time. They said goodbye to Jared Goff because he was good, but he wasn't good enough. So what did they do?
Which
they were like, we've got to get a guy that was elite.
Which blows my mind. And this is something that every fan should always wonder for, like, the future. Because, you know, you have what you and I, but people don't want to believe it, but you and I, and Jason certainly aligns with it, and a couple other people, is I don't think that the ownership group was keen on just moving on from Baker Mayfield. I think that they remember starkly what 2016 and 17 was, where there was very little fan interest to begin with. And I don't think there was a passion around the Browns. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it was. There was a passion around Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. I think that they found themselves in a desperate moment. And I'm going, I look back at it and I think you've been so tough with all these other players about wanting trades. The latest one with our Hall of Famer, about guys requesting trades, demanding trades. You've been so tough to the point of just putting your fingers in your ears and closing your eyes. And somehow his behavior or his reaction to all this is what necessitated being so desperate to go out and get Deshaun Watson. That's something I won't understand. I won't understand it, because they can say whatever they want and people can make up whatever they want. You know damn well the facts of the matter. They were the first team out at 10:30 on a Thursday when it came to Deshaun Watson. He didn't want to be here. I don't think he wants to be here. And I look at it now and I go, well, Baker Mayfield is in greener pastures in Tampa Bay. And I don't think that, you know, I looked at the other drafts. He would have been good enough where there definitely were going to be conversations about, could you get this guy? Could you get that guy? Do you want to take a swing at this guy? I don't think you'd ever be truly, like, out of the woods. But he'd be your quarterback. It would just be a question of how far can you go. And I think there'd be people how far they can go.
If he had the year he had in Carolina or anything like it, and again, he was coming off the injury,
then they would have moved on.
I think they would have moved on anyway. Yes. I think that's the one part that's being forgotten.
They probably would have moved on from everybody.
And that's even if they signed him to a kind of contract. They, especially with their cap manipulation skills, they would have been able to get out of it. The other part of this, I do wonder when it comes to teams, and this is a broader philosophical question we get in all of sports. Sometimes I wonder if teams should just never really be aggressive. Like, they didn't think they could win the Super Bowl with Baker, so they were aggressive and they made a huge move. And that was not, like, universally panned. People are like, oh my God, they just got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's been a top five quarterback. Like, this is, with this roster, they've got a real chance to win the Super Bowl now.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, should you just sometimes, like, Can you understand why teams like the Cavs, like they just run it back? Like, how do you feel about the 19, even if you never win, how do you feel? How do you think the city of Cleveland generally feels about the late 80s Cavs?
I think they hold them in high regard.
How do they feel about the late 80s Browns?
I think they hold them in very high regard.
What did those teams win?
In the grand scheme of things, nothing.
And sometimes I wonder if you got guys like me going, be aggressive, try to win a championship. A championship just changes everything. And then I think about it sometimes and I'm like, maybe just having guys your fan base likes, even if they don't win, have them for 7 years. People will talk favorably about them and they'll say, they didn't win at all. But we could say positive things about Bernie Kosar. We could say positive things about Mark Price. Those teams didn't win. They didn't win, but they gave the fan base moments that were special for them for the rest of their lives.
Well, I've heard many people say it, and I think they're probably right about it, because we compartmentalize. The 90s Indians, that's just an ugliness that, in a soul-sucking thought as the years go by, that I'll never be able to compute. But when it comes to the 90s...
But people still love those guys.
Yeah, I do.
They do.
But there's... When I think of the 90s Indians, I will tell you...
Jim Thome left, Albert Bell left, and fans still love them.
There's genuine hurt there. I have compartmentalized, and I think a lot of other people have, the 80s Cavs and Browns. It's like, all right, you lost to the Broncos, but the Broncos went out and got hammered in the Super Bowl, so at least we didn't go out and get embarrassed in the Super Bowl. That is not the best thing to admit, but I think that's where some people have compartmentalized where the Browns are. For the Cavs, it's like, hey, you ran into Michael Jordan. Everybody runs into Michael Jordan. Charles Barkley's on TV. He ran into Michael Jordan plenty of times. There were plenty of problems there. Like, you rationalize it in so many ways. The Indians of the 90s, I can't rationalize. I'm sorry. It still hurts. It is a definite pain because of how that went
but
down.
But I still have so many fond memories from that run.
I have fond memories from that run, and that's what makes it more painful, that I looked at a lineup that loaded with that many guys hitting around 290 or over 300 at that point when batting average mattered. And with that many stars, you lost to the Marlins. And then Colorado beat the Marlins yesterday, and a lot of people are out of money, apparently. 216-474-0092. No, I looked at the revisionist history. There's a lot of things that could have played out. If he wouldn't have been successful in 2022 coming back, if he wouldn't have been successful there, I think everybody might have been ushered out. I think it might have done that way. He might have came to his senses. He might have played on the option. It came to his senses. Signed a deal of what he's worth right now. I think right now we would be having arguments of, can 10-7, 11-6, can we ever get above Allen? Can we ever get above Jackson, Mahomes, those guys? And that's a hell of a lot more fun than any other thing else we've been arguing over the last 3 years. I don't think anybody can fight that. Lima, what's the reason people don't want AI, artificial intelligence?
Yeah, well, they're certainly worried about losing jobs, right?
Well, more on that coming up at 7:45. I hope you guys are happy. You're costing everybody a bunch of jobs. Hope you're thrilled, taking food off their table. But what's the other reason about AI?
It's going to have so many people just sitting at home arguing over things like OTA video. OTA video. Of quarterbacks and documenting of their throws in each and every one of them.
I want people to just admit something, though, about that. So Mary Kay put out the video of Shedeur Sanders throwing what everybody thought was a touchdown pass. It was at the back of the end zone. She said the foot was on the line of Caden Davis's foot, who was the receiver at the time. And people were bickering back and forth. Can we just admit that this is fun? There's a hell of a lot more fun than anything. Can we just admit it, that there's, have you or have you not, just thought for a second, even the nastiest of you, the most cynical, the most bitter, the Drew Careys of Browns fans, where boy, he's as ugly as it gets about the Browns, man. If you're even like Drew Carey, you're telling me, if you have any notion about the Browns, you haven't thought about it, even at a stoplight while you're listening to the fan or something. Hey, what if Kenny Pickett does end up being good? You haven't thought about, hey, what if Dylan Gabriel... What if he is? What if that's finally our guy? You haven't thought for just a moment, even the most cynical, the most nasty of you, haven't been at a stoplight listening to one of these shows on the fan from 6 a.m. to 11 o'clock at night or whenever you're listening and thought, you know what? What if this Shedeur Sanders, what if these teams all got this guy wrong? What if he's our Tom Brady? We found him just for a split second, and then the light turned green, and off you went back to hating him for all I know. You're telling me that this isn't fun? It's a quote-unquote circus. You don't want to be around it. It's typical Browns. They're going to mess this whole thing up. They may very well mess it up. I don't know how I feel about this in September, but I think I know how I feel about it in June, and it's refreshing.
Well, there hasn't really been a circus. I have to say, there really hasn't been a circus. I mean,
the
like,
circus is created by all of us, fans, much, media, everybody.
Well, how much national media has even been there? It's not what I thought it was going to be.
But there's been some ESPN folks.
This was not Johnny Manziel.
No.
Johnny Manziel had way more national media. No. And I would even say the Baker had a little bit more. I do think, as much as we talked about, this is the story of the summer, they're not sending the national media here like I thought we would to see Shador. That has not happened nearly like what I thought.
You will have your week during Hall of Fame week when the national media comes here, when they go on their tour, and we are going to be reading a lot of Shador Sanders conversation then, and how good he looks or how bad he looks or whatever he may look. But I think you got to come out and admit you like the content. You're curious of the content. That's why I see people saying, this is ridiculous. We're breaking down OTAs. The fans are breaking down OTAs. Yeah, because before, there was no chance that you wanted to break down any OTAs. We were talking about Zip on a quarterback that I think a lot of us didn't really have a lot of faith in to begin with. This, dare to dream for a minute that any one of these three other guys, Joe, the reason I don't put Joe in that category is because Joe's 40 years old. We've already seen the best of Joe. But any one of these other three guys, you dare to dream for a minute. If there's been a set of years where quarterbacks from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different sizes and shapes and colors, if there's a year that any quarterbacks can be the next big thing, it's been these years. Offenses have changed. The way we think about offenses have changed. There is not any certain prototype anymore. And it leads us to kind of say a bunch of different crazy things that might not be true. And that might be upsetting and frustrating to some level. But man, I see the stuff about Shador Sanders. I'm like, man, this is fun. This is fun. People care about OTAs. They care about this football team. They care about the team getting better. You want to make the thing better. And again, in October, maybe it's all going to be some terrible suck-ass situation that no one wants to be a part of anymore. But looking at it right now, I'm having a lot of fun. Kimberly Martin is saying that there's some people in the building having some fun and that Shador Sanders can be the starting QB.
Listen, in that building, there are people who believe Shador can 100% be the starter of this football team. You said it's incumbent upon the Browns to put him in a situation. It's also incumbent upon Shador to do the work, which at talking to people in that building, they have said he is soaking up everything like a sponge in the QB rooms, talking to Flacco, wanting to learn. And also, let's not forget Dillon Gabriel. We spent a lot of time talking about Shador, but Dillon Gabriel is a guy who's drafted in the third. One source said to me, he is everything you want in a quarterback. He's just small. If he were a little taller, a lot of people would be looking at Dillon Gabriel a little differently. At least that's how they feel in their building. So they have a very interesting quarterback situation, and Shador has a path.
Audio courtesy ESPN. When it comes to Dillon Gabriel, you can't coach size. You can't coach him up. Can't coach him to be taller. It is what it is in so many ways. It seemed that he struggled a little bit yesterday, and it's a bad day to struggle because the media is there and everybody's paying attention to it. So we'll talk more about Dillon Gabriel with Mary Kay coming up at 8:22. But with Shador, would you be surprised if he were your week one starter?
Yes. Yeah.
Would you be nervous if he were your week one starter?
Well, you know what? Boy, you said nervous. Because of the investment they made in him, a fifth round pick, I wouldn't be nervous at all.
I'd be terrified for him.
Well, hold on. If his career... Yeah, but I'm not invested in Shador the way maybe that you are.
Oh, I am.
Well, so wait. You're anticipating...
It's my favorite football team.
Are you saying that is the quarterback of the future for the Browns, Shador?
No.
Because I've assumed that he's probably not. The fact that he was taken where he was taken.
What I'm nervous about is that you were
to take... So what's to be nervous about?
Because it's still a guy that fell in the draft, and you're putting him as QB1 to start the year against defenses that are actually playing for keeps now. OTAs are fun. This is... None of this... I mean, the teaching and what you can get matters, but all the conversation around it, us talking about... It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. This actually counts.
See, my thing is, Kenny, if he was starting week one, I'd be excited. I'd been like, holy cow, they were going to be very conservative. They were going to trot out either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. The fact that Shador has risen in the ranks all the way to starting week one for a team that most think are going to be really bad, that tells me that he has really impressed everybody in that building. And that to me would be like, hey, maybe he's actually got a chance here.
If he starts week one, I'm even more nervous for a couple of different reasons. One, I want him to be successful, and you start a season with a guy who is a fifth round pick, whatever. I'm going to be nervous for him. I don't know if he's going to be able to protect himself within the confines of what an NFL game is, too. I got to look at everybody in that front office and go, wait a minute. He's your week one starter now against the Cincinnati Bengals on September 7th. Do any of you know what you're looking at when it comes to a quarterback? Do any of you do? Because if he ended up being good, I'd say, great, we're good.
No, you wouldn't care.
But they got lucky.
Yeah.
They got lucky.
The teams get lucky.
You took a guy in the third round.
San Francisco got lucky.
You took a guy in the third round. You puffed your chest out. Yes.
And they went to the Super Bowl.
Totally true. You got lucky with Brock Purdy. And that's fine. But I would have major concerns about our front office still, where it's like, man, you guys got lucky with Shedeur Sanders, and that's great. What are you going to do to put around him? Because I still have major questions about everything else, including how you evaluate the most important position, because you took a guy in the third round ahead of him, and I don't even know if you had a thought to take Shedeur Sanders. And if Shedeur ends up being your first over, or your week one starter, then what are you looking at with the quarterback other than you just got lucky?
To that, though, I already have all those concerns about the front office and their drafting and their evaluating the talent. I mean, obviously, I have those concerns because I said in the offseason, if it were me, I would make the change. I would go in a new direction with the front office. They did not. Andrew Berry is still there. They value stability. Okay, yes, I have all those concerns you just said. Made no sense to me. Certain acts, certain parts of their draft did not make much sense to me at all. Doesn't mean I don't think there might be good players there. Doesn't mean that I don't think they might get lucky. Hey, teams do get lucky. I mean, I can't say that the Baltimore Ravens didn't get a little lucky with where they drafted, you know, their future two-time MVP. I mean, clearly they did.
I get that. And then I would look at it and say, if he were even better than what people expect, then I think, why didn't you go out and get somebody you might be able to? Why didn't you take him in the third round?
Yeah, I agree.
Why didn't you take anybody that can help him out? Now I got this other QB that probably isn't going to get a shot. I got Zach saying he's not even of NFL caliber, which is probably a strong commentary, but that's what he said. That's not what I said. Why couldn't we get anything more? Like, I, in a weird way, I'd feel so great that we got lucky and we finally got this guy. And then I go, all right, what are you guys going to do in the first round now to help this kid out? And are you guys going to go ahead and pick wrong square pegs and round holes and wrong players to help out Shedeur Sanders? Because unless he is the next Tom Brady, he's going to need some help getting off the ground. And my God, if they go out there and they continue to do this, you're going to have a real big problem on your hands here, Tone. I think a lot of people would be surprised. I think a lot of people would be angry. I think a lot of people would be excited. I'd just be scared. I'd be afraid for them. I'd be afraid for him. I'd be nervous. I'd be shocked, and then my first reaction would be nerves.
Yeah,
Super Browns with you to get myself excited about it, but I think I'd be trembling.
I'd be nervous in a good way because I already assume this year is not going to be a good year, so I'm not worried about losing games. Are you? Who cares?
I am.
Really?
Yes.
This year?
Yes.
They're supposed to lose at least 12 games.
And I want to negate that as much as I possibly can. Why wouldn't I be worried about losing games?
I got to go back to what we talked about yesterday about what your goals were for this season. I'm assuming bad season. I'm assuming Vegas is accurate. I don't think we have the 32nd best roster in the NFL, but maybe we just have different expectations for the season.
I don't think we have different expectations. I expect them to lose double digit games. If that's 10 or 13 or whatever, I expect them to lose double digits. But I'm not going to be fine with it. I don't know. I don't want to have to fire people and look for other people and have to do all this over again and feel like I wasted two quarterbacks when I'm going to use two more picks. I'm going to use four picks on quarterbacks over the next 2 years. Do we not know this? Like, depending on how this thing works,
I think because
at worst we'd use three.
I think that's the
at best we'd use three.
That's why I feel like I do, because I already can't believe we're in this situation, and because we've got the quarterbacks that we took inexplicably in the third round and the fifth round. That
ultimately we agree with each other, but I get what you're saying.
But I'm not going to be sitting there with the butterflies that I have for like Ohio State, Michigan. Like, no, we're supposed to lose a bunch of games.
I will have butterflies.
The rest of the league assumes we're going to lose a bunch of games, and the rest of the league assumes we're going to be taking a quarterback, maybe number one overall next year, maybe two or three.
I will have butterflies without a doubt because I want him to do well. I want Dylan Gabriel to do well. You know what? If they just started Kenny Pickett week one or something like that, or certainly Joe Flacco, I don't know if I'm feeling confident. I'm just feeling...
Well, Sam Monson thinks you're wasting the year.
I'm feeling better. I don't... Because Sam looks at it from 30,000 feet. I'm sorry. You have to spend some time with the people actually in the building at some point. No offense to Sam. I respect Sam. Eraser phrase. But if we're just going to sit here and talk about that, I can give you example after example of teams that, yeah, felt that they were wasting the year winning some football games. And again, we oddly find them at the top of the draft every single year. The teams that think you're wasting time winning football games are always at the top of the draft because they're still losing football games.
I guess it's just we philosophically, me and you, one of the things we've debated over the years, I've always said, hey, when you have lower expectations, it's easier for you to watch. Like when Baker came in that first year, I had no expectations. And so when he played well right away, I was like, holy cow, this is exciting. When they have no expectations, which is what they have this year, you take the nail biting out of it. Like I'm not going to be sitting there week one worried about whether they lose. I'll be like, well, the expectation is lose. Low expectations, I think, sometimes can be fun because anything will come off looking pretty good.
I just don't see it that way. I think there's so much there. I don't want to waste another year.
I think you're setting yourself up for failure because if you are coming in saying they're not going to win a bunch of games, but I'm nervous for Shador when he goes out there, I'm like, yeah, probably a fifth round pick starting for one of the worst teams in football. That normally is a formula for bad season.
So I'm setting myself up for failure?
Yeah, if you are coming in nervous already about what you think the reality is probably going to be, like, yeah, it's probably not going to be a good viewing experience for Ken Carmen week one if Shador Sanders is the starter.
Well, what if he ends up being good?
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's going to be amazing. That's why I'm saying I'm in a good place with that.
I want to trust.
That will be so much fun.
I want to trust the people evaluating him.
I don't think you have that trust. Do you?
No.
Sound like
God,
you
do. No.
So that's already gone.
Like it, no.
For them to win that back, that would be fun.
It would be, but it would be even more despairing if I lost even whatever trust I have. I were to lose even more and then throw up my arms on this. I don't want to have to use at best 3 picks on a quarterback, Nick, for this year and next year. I don't have to do that. And in all reality, you're probably not going to be as bad as what some think you're going to be. So if you win 6 or 7 games, you're going to have to use 4 picks
over
on quarterbacks.
You're taking the over then on the season.
On the
season, well, we're probably not as bad.
If I'm taking 6 or 7 wins, but 6 or 7 wins still isn't going to be good. There's going to be plenty of people saying same old Browns. You're going to lose to some of these teams that are still going to look at you in a different way. And it's another year older for all your good players.
No, I disagree. If they won 7 games with Shador, you'll be really excited.
If they won 7 games and they don't have to draft a quarterback next year, that's a huge, huge win.
Yeah, that means you've taken a big step forward at
that
the most important position in football.
You're using those 2 first-round picks on things that help Shador or Dylan Gabriel.
If you're winning 7 games with Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders, I think there's a conversation to hold on to Shador or Dylan Gabriel. Mm-hmm. If you're winning 6 or 7 games, let's call perception what it is. You win 6 or 7 games with Kenny Pickett, I think we're talking Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, and the list goes on.
Drew Aller.
We're having that conversation, man. There is no doubt about it in my mind. But yeah, I'd be nervous for Shador and everybody involved if he were the week one starter. I would want those fears to be calm.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.